The Waterbury Ecclesia voted to send their love to the friends here in Wilmington at convention. And indeed, we always look forward to Wilmington when we can meditate upon the great sacrifice of our Lord on behalf of the church and also on behalf of the world of mankind. And indeed, I'd like to continue along in the spirit that Brother Morehouse brought out in regard to the baptismal discourse, and especially those that have consecrated today, that Psalms 63, the third verse, "Because thy loving kindness favor is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Now, in the book of Psalms, Webster's dictionary defines a psalm as a song sung to a harp, a sacred song or poem, a hymn. Any of the sacred songs or hymns composing the book of Psalms in the Old Testament. To sing or glorify in psalms, in hymn. In this book that is attributed to David, the word praise is used 208 times. Sing is used many, many times, and also song in this book. For example, Psalms 43, a very familiar scripture to us, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Now, the prophet David, as a faithful, ancient worthy of God, who loved God with all his heart and desire to do his will, expressed over and over again in the scriptures his great love for God. Now we know, as the scriptures say, that no one can see God and live. But yet, as we read his wonderful writings, the sublime depths of feeling that he has for God, it touches every one of us. The Jewish people, we know throughout the centuries, have received many blessings and much comfort from this book, as has Christianity in general. Whenever people go through trial or distress, they get a wonderful comfort from this book. But yet, even though David was this wonderful servant of God, yet as a prophet, and as a follower of God, he was a type of the Christ, head and body. So that these feelings that are expressed in hymns and psalms actually picture the feeling of the head and the 144,000 toward God. For example, David was called to be a king, and he had to wait for it, and he had to train for it. He was disciplined from the Lord to, in order to reign. His trust in the Lord is expressed over and over again, very beautifully. Now, in Psalm 63:3, the prophet David states that God's favor is more desirable than life itself. That is, that he would rather die than live without God. From the view of the Christ, our consecration is unto death. And God has invited us to sacrifice, to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. We of all people in the world have the loving kindness of God manifested toward us. We are the recipients of his special love. And we appreciate this love and these glorious promises and the bountiful provisions of his grace. And as our hearts respond in gratitude to his loving kindness, we are ready more to lay down our lives in his service. It was thus with our Lord Jesus. He preferred the Father's will above all else. Now, another of David's psalms gives us the thought that in God's favor is everlasting life, Psalm 35, in his favor is life. Now this seems to be a paradox here. And this is in harmony with another divine paradox, that he that loses his life shall find it. He that surrenders his earthly life shall gain glory, honor, and immortality, the divine nature. So those friends that have consecrated together and all of us that have consecrated to God through Jesus Christ have indeed chosen the better part. Concerning our Lord's consecration to do the Father's will in Psalms 46, the 40th chapter and the 6th verse, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Hebrews 10:6, in which the Apostle Paul is comparing the Mosaic Law sacrifices with the sacrifices of Christ in the church. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. The reason for this was that the Mosaic Law sacrifices made nothing perfect before God's justice. And in the 6th verse of Psalm 40, mine ears hast thou opened, and in response to this, Jesus says in verse 7 and 8, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So indeed, the Psalms most beautifully express the heart sentiments of the perfect man Jesus in the flesh, that he desired to seek after God, and in seeking after God and finding out what his will was concerning him, and then to fulfill it. The opening of his ears to the things written in the book, or God's word, took place fully concerning his sacrifice as a result of the Holy Spirit being poured upon him without measure at his baptism in Jordan. The account is given in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 to 17, and also the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 11. Immediately after his consecration to death, in harmony with the Father's plan, and after he had symbolized that consecration by baptism in Jordan, our Lord, instead of beginning his ministry at once, turned aside in the wilderness. The record is that he was led of the Spirit to do this, and that it involved very trying temptations. We may readily surmise the reason why our Master took this course. He knew that he came into the world to fulfill a great mission, to perform the Father's will, whatever that might be. He knew that it involved the rescue of mankind from sin and death. And since it was the Father's will, he had left the glory which he had with the Father from before the world's creation, and he had willingly come to a lower nature, the human nature, in order to carry out the divine plan. Our Lord entered into a covenant by sacrifice. Psalms 55. Now, when our Lord entered into this covenant, he did not understand fully the details involved. He was fully convinced concerning the Lord's wisdom, righteousness, mercy, and the justice of his arrangements, that he trusted implicitly in the Lord's leadings. Then it was under the enlightening influences of the Holy Spirit that our Lord was enabled to see and understand more clearly than before the divine plan and his connection therewith, that he sought the wilderness solitude for study, prayer, and reflection. He took this course because he realized the importance of the work he was beginning and desired to make no mistake respecting this work and its proper method. He turned aside and, freeing himself from all uninspired earthly counsel, sought to know by the Holy Spirit given unto him the true import of those scriptures which he was already familiar. Now we're dealing with a man, a perfect man, with a perfect mind. He didn't have the Bible as it is given to us now. It's easy, accessible for study. He didn't have the Bible helps. But he did have the perfect mind by which in the years that he grew up, he committed to memory the oracles of God. We can picture our Lord during those 40 days praying to the Father for guidance and counsel. And with his perfect mind, searching the scriptures which he had already stored to memory. And he sought an answer to his prayer in the types of the law and the writings of the prophets. The various features were called up, and the harmony between them sought. The prophecies which refer to Messiah as the Lamb led to the slaughter, and the other prophecies which describe the glorious majesty and power of Emmanuel as King of Kings. He saw also the typical lambs and bullocks sacrificed must have an antitype, because their continued repetition showed that they never really canceled sin. He saw that the identity between the priest who offered the sacrifice and the sacrifice itself were related, and that the same priest was typified in Melchizedek as no longer a sacrificer but enthroned in power. The putting together of these different features of the divine word and weaving out of them a knowledge of the divine plan and of his own relation thereto was a large and important part of our Lord's occupation during those 40 days. The more he studied the picture, the more that he saw it represented ignominy, shame, and death as preceding the glory of his kingdom. As the forerunner and the pattern of the church, he set the example of the giving of his life for others. Matthew 10:39, he that loseth his life shall find it. The things written in the book were written in types and shadows and allegories. In examining some of these pictures, Genesis 3:21, the coat of skins for Adam and Eve. Genesis 4:4, Abel's sacrifice offering of the firstlings of his flock, margin sheep. Genesis 22:8, Abraham offering up Isaac, and then the angel stopping him, and there the ram being sacrificed instead. Our Lord immediately would see the connection of these things. Then we have Genesis 37:24, Joseph in the pit. Exodus 12, the Passover lamb and its significance with the firstborn. Exodus 17:6 and 1 Corinthians 10:4, the smitten rock. Leviticus 9:8, the tabernacle sacrifices and the slain bullock. Numbers 21:9, the brazen serpent lifted up in the wilderness. Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53, the sufferings of Christ on the cross. Daniel 9:24 and 26, the making an end of sins and Messiah being cut off. Daniel 11:22, the prince of the covenant be broken. Jonah 1:15 and 17, Jonah in the whale for the 3 days and three nights. And we could go on and bring out many more, but for lack of time, we will stop here. Now, our Lord, when he began his ministry amongst those that would be called to be his disciples, recognized that they were imperfect men who had not received the Holy Spirit. Now, as the teacher sent of God, he had to bring out these things in such a way that his disciples would understand and remember and teach these things after they were begotten of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord taught humility. He set the example in this. Our Lord set the example of being a teacher, come, let us reason together. He didn't appeal to the passions of his hearers in grand oratory, but he stated the righteousness and truth of God's character and plans. In the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter, our Lord brought out that which would be pleasing to the Father. And as we see in the first psalm, in the first 3 verses, that this is the same lesson that is brought out. I'd like to read those 3 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So thus, when our Lord brought out the Beatitudes to his disciples in the end of the 5th chapter, he ended this portion of it and said, that ye may be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. There he always endeavored to glorify his heavenly Father's character and his wonderful standard of righteousness. And in the Psalms, we know that it starts out that you have to be in a special condition of heart in order to receive these things at the present time. And as this condition is developed in the narrow way, we see that throughout the book that the saints are shown to be thankful for the statutes of the Lord, for the commandments of God. And the last book in the Psalms brings out praise the Lord. It's mentioned over and over again that this is the theme of the church, to give praise unto God and to the Lamb, that this is the song of Moses and the Lamb, that this is the desire of the church. Jude 21 brings out, keep yourselves in the love of God. And our Lord in John 15 verses 9 to 13 tells us how we do this, that if ye keep my commandments, I shall love you. That as I have kept my Father's commandments and he loves me, that if ye keep my commandments, I will love you. And the Apostle John also brings out this thought in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7 to 21, and the 5th chapter, verses 1 to 3. He shows us that God loved us first by the giving of his beloved Son in our behalf. Now, when it came to sacrifice, wherever we read in the Scriptures concerning sacrifice and praise, they are always interrelated. There isn't any such thing as walking the narrow way, praising God, and disassociating ourselves with the suffering of Christ. But wherever you see it in the Psalms, wherever you see it in the New Testament, both our Lord and the apostles and the prophets always connected up sacrifice with praise. And in our Lord's example, notice how he taught these things to his disciples. In John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In the Greek, Ithi is defined by Young's Concordance as it behooveth, be needful. Strong's Concordance, necessary as binding, behooveth, be meet. Notice its use in these scriptures relating to the Passover and our Lord's sacrifice. Luke 22:7. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover, Ithi, must be killed. The diaglot, now the day of unleavened bread came on which it was necessary, Ithi, to sacrifice the paschal lamb. Moffat's, then came the day of unleavened bread when the paschal lamb, Ithi, had to be sacrificed. Luke 9:22, saying the Son of Man, Ithi, must suffer suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day.
John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Luke 24, verses 25 and 26. Then he said unto them, O inconsiderate men, and slow of heart to believe all which the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary, under literal Greek rendering, it was binding for Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? King James, verse 26, ought he thee not Christ to have suffered these things? Consecration did precede our Lord's understanding of all the types. Our Lord contracted to do everything written in the book concerning himself before he was given an understanding of these things. Here was God's will, not written in commands, but in types and shadows, that the one who was to fulfill these things might see in them not a divine command, but the divine will. Lo, I come to do thy will. So we can see the love that our Lord had for his Heavenly Father, that he didn't understand these things beforehand. But imagine making a consecration to do the Lord's will and not to fully understand all the ignominy he had to do. Now, when we read the scripture in the Psalms to say, as panteth the heart for the water brooks, so panteth my heart for thee, we know that our Lord died of a broken heart literally on the cross when his Father turned his back on him as our Lord took the sinner's place. That this love that he treasured so much literally broke his heart. And you couldn't ask for greater love than this. The expression sacrifice of praise appears in Hebrews 13:15, and its companion text is found in Psalms 116:17. In the Psalms, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, whoever fails to see that the church, as members of the body of Christ, suffer with him sacrificially after being justified by faith in his blood, will be logically bound by and by to interpret the sacrifices and sufferings in some other way. Those that cannot see the church's share in the sin offering say that we merely offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, true, in the Mosaic law type, the word sacrifice is used in that broad sense, even though it is a pleasure rather than a sacrifice to praise God, as the word sacrifice is now generally used. These praise offerings as a sacrifice under the Mosaic law were represented in peace offerings and thank offerings. But St. Paul urges us, present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Now that, the meaning of that scripture is very clear. He, as well as the Master, intimates that there is a more difficult sacrifice than the offering of praise before us when we forsake all and take up our cross to follow him in the narrow way. Paul urges, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. He identifies these words with the sin offering by pointing out that the blood of both the bull and the goat of the sin offering was taken by the priest beyond the second veil into the most holy. He identifies it again by his reference to the burning of both outside the camp. I'd like to read here Hebrews 13:11-13. In which this comparison is made. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And then the church's share is shown. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And then the theme text in Hebrews, the 15th verse, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we see that as our Lord enjoyed preaching God and his righteousness to the great congregation, so when we come to testimony meeting or when we come to study, how thankful we are that we have been privileged to have been called to this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That it is only proper that we express it with our lips. Say if we would be sacrificing and we wouldn't want to show forth praise in our conduct of life and in our conversation, it would be lacking. As the scripture states that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So in this, let us be joyful Christians that as we walk the narrow way, this is the privilege of praise, that we have the best that there is, and that with our lips we should confess it, and we should be willing to give it out to others. In Hebrews 9:23, the better sacrifices are also pictured, comparing the sacrifice of our Lord and the church with the sacrifices of the sin offering, the bullock and the goat. And what a beautiful illustration that has been given to us in Tabernacle Shadows, that the bullock was such a fine animal, full of strength, and that the fat represented the zeal of the perfect man Christ Jesus, his perfect ability. That when you burn off fat, you use energy. And our Lord used all the energy at his command in fulfilling his vows of consecration. And what have we to offer? That in the picture of a goat, it's a lean animal with not much fat, that we have no perfection of our own. But it is only the merit of Christ that makes our little offering acceptable to the Father. In Isaiah 42:6, our Lord is pictured as given, as I will give thee, sacrifice thee in the interest for a covenant with the people. And we know that this wonderful new covenant that is sealed with the blood of Christ will bless all the families of the earth. This is why our Lord, when he took the cup, he mentioned, this is my blood of the new covenant. There are many Christians that feel, well, our Lord instituted the new covenant right there. But what the Lord was pointing out was that this great sacrifice, this blood, is going to seal that new covenant that is going to do so much for mankind, that is going to give them everlasting life to all the obedient at that time. In Psalms 16:12-14, Brother Russell used this text for my morning resolve. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. To God we are indebted for every good that we possess. As his consecrated children, we are also the special objects of his grace. He brought us up out of the horrible pit of condemnation to death, the Adamic death, and out of the miry clay, personal sin, and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and then by his truth established our goings. Yea, and he has put a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. How wonderfully God has helped his people. They are his constant care, and no good thing does he withhold from us. And all things are made to work together for good to those that love God. In the smallest and in the greatest affairs of life, he is ever watching for our interests, and the evidences of his cares are, of his care are all about us. But the prophet David suggests what we may acceptably render. What shall I offer unto the Lord for all these wonderful benefits? I will take the cup of salvation. Just as a parent loves to see his children appreciate a gift given to them, so our Heavenly Father appreciates those that see the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and gladly accept this wonderful gift. Therefore, we obey his call. In the second portion, and call upon the name of the Lord. He has invited our confidence and has proved his worthiness of it. As Psalm 18:3, I believe, brings out, I will praise thee, O God. Why? Because thou art worthy. Indeed, he has proven that to us by the giving of his Son. He who has redeemed us at a great price is both able and willing to perfect in and for us his great salvation. Yes, let us give him our fullest confidence. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This also the Lord will regard as an expression of gratitude, to render our consecrated hearts and talents in glad and cheerful service is but a reasonable return for all his goodness. Let us therefore do it gladly and with zeal and energy. It will be but a small return at best, but the measure of love and zeal that goes with it will indicate the measure of our gratitude. And let us do it promptly, now, and to such an extent that it will be blessedly realized by the Lord's people, especially in the presence of all his people. And then how does God view our sacrifice in this same chapter? The 15th verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How dear in the sight of God was the death of his beloved Son. So he has set apart this long period of time for the church. He is not ignorant concerning the sufferings of the world, but precious in his sight is the development of his work when he makes his jewels in that day to glorify them. In Psalms 82, 6, 7, and 8, the Lord shows us, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Then the sacrifice comes in again. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. The Prince Jesus, the sacrificial death. And then the glory in the 8th verse, arise, O gods, in the King James it's O God, but it's the same Hebrew word that's translated gods in the 6th verse, arise, O gods, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So indeed, we are thankful that we have this opportunity to praise God with all our hearts at the present time, and what little we have to offer, our hearts, our wills, our lives, we do it gladly for his praise. May the Lord add his blessing.
Hymn number 225, first two verses.
art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Indeed, we are thankful for the blessed provisions thou hast given us in Christ Jesus, for the sure mercies of David that thou hast promised. And indeed, we do pray that thy Son did thy work to thy honor and glory, that we might endeavor to follow in his footsteps, being pleasing unto thee. We ask a further blessing as we wait before thee at the convention, that we might be edified and built up in thy most holy faith. And we do pray for thy people the world over, endeavoring to do thy will and work. In Jesus' name we give thee all praise and thanks. Amen.